If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and light of the Most High. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is A Tribute to a Great Modern-Day Master, my mentor, John Roger. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit as it pours down over the top of your head, like a cascade of chills. That is the anointing of the Beloved. That is the blessing and impartation of supernatural grace that clothes you with the ability to walk diaphanously through this world. And this evening we have a sacred tribute that we're paying to a very great modern-day master. And as I work and clear my own physical vehicle and the vehicles of those listening, because many of you are also connected to this great master, and we're clearing a lot. I've been clearing a lot through my throat chakra, which seems to open and close like a flower, and my solar plexus. And be aware that as you clear, you may feel different things moving in your chakras, in your heart, in your brow, in your solar plexus. Be aware that your body is like a divine instrument, like a flute. And it is the breath of the Lord that is playing the divine melodies through your life, through your physical instrument. You are part of a cosmic symphony, grander than you could possibly imagine. And every one of your biospheres is a perfect instrument of God. Even though you may not have caught up to that in time-space, your ultimate perfection and awakening to that perfection completely and fully is assured. In fact, it's already occurred out of time. So it's only in the illusion of time and space that we seem to be becoming. So take a deep breath and ask that the Holy Spirit anoint you and clear you and allow your resonant tone to ring forth in divine perfection. Allow yourself to be played by Krishna's flute. And the one that we are honoring tonight, John Roger, passed beyond this dimension into the fields of light and ongoing service early this morning, 2:49 a.m. Pacific Time. And this is October 22nd. 2014, which happens to be the birthday of another great spiritual master by the name of Paul Twitchell, and Paul Twitchell and John Roger carry a work forward, which comes in its origins from the planet Venus and beyond the planet Venus, from the very divine realms of the highest positive God realms, the far country, as it's often called. That is the realm in which we have our true home with a capital H. Sometimes it's called the soul plane, or the land of truth, Satchkhand, or Satya Desh, the true land. That is the land that we all yearn to return to. Every single longing that arises within us has as its root cause the yearning to return home. And the home that we return to is entered through the Sacred Heart. It's an inner kingdom that all great masters point to. John Roger is a master called a spiritual traveler, one who carries the mystical traveler consciousness. What is that? I would say it's the divine principle of transcendency through grace, a divine insert of reality into the illusion of time, space, and causation. It's a friend to escort you home and make certain that you arrive safely and are established therein. So he not only escorts you through the dimensional planes, teaching you where the snares of each level exist and how to step beyond them, how to walk through illusion without fear. But then he takes you into the highest level of consciousness that you can maintain and hold, and moves you in so you're established there. And those of us who are consecrated to the path of soul transcendency, which is the teaching, we are established in the soul realm, where we don't have to return back into this dimension. It's unnecessary. So you might say it's the royal highway home. I often call it the purple elevator of grace, because that consciousness often comes in initially in the purple or violet tones of color, which you will see sometimes inwardly, sometimes in vision, and sometimes they just dart before the room, or sometimes the page that you're reading in your spiritual discourses will turn purple. You'll see purple all over the place. Sometimes that consciousness comes in on the blue. The blue pertains to the mental realm. The purple pertains to the realm of transmutation and the etheric realm, just before you break through into the positive realms of soul. When you do, you notice that you see more gold. And when you go beyond the soul realms into the God realms, you begin to see white. So the traveler teaches you an inner geography of light and color and sound so you can chart your course as you travel. You know by the color and the sound which dimensional plane you're moving through, because they don't have any signs. And they're not layered like a pancake. They're actually frequencies of light and sound, particles and waves, that your consciousness placement morphs you into. So it's a movement of spiritual inner awareness that as you look inwardly and you train yourself to look inwardly, to watch for the light, and to listen inwardly for the sound, which takes different forms in the different levels. I've done seminars on this several times. You know where you are, but even if you don't know where you are, which is totally unnecessary, you're still escorted. So once you make that commitment to go home to God, the one that is called the mystical traveler will find you and will escort you, whether or not you're conscious of it. You are homeward bound. And really, it doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of difference what you're conscious of in your human mind, because your mind is Mashugana anyway. You know, the mind is very inferior to discern the things of spirit. You're better off going with your heart. Your heart won't lie, but your mind will. So the inner form of John Roger, my spiritual mentor, looks to some people like a blonde, blue-eyed version of Jesus. So despite the early artwork was not blonde, he was a swarthy Jew. So the inner master in the form of John Roger often looks like a blonde version of Jesus with long blonde hair. He looks a lot like Ashtar as well. And a beard, blonde beard. And sometimes is seen carrying a purple rose, which is his symbol. But the truth is, he can take any form at any time, in any way whatsoever, to work with you. And he always works through the office of the Christ and the order of Melchizedek here on this planet. And he is a servant of the Lord. And he works with Jesus, his master. We all have an upline. And the upline of the traveler, John Roger, is Jesus the Christ. So in terms of vibration, he is the one who laughs and sings in your heart. There's a joyous, childlike laughter and innocence, playful and humorous. That is his energetic signature. He always can sense a little chuckle, a little gleam in his eye of delight. And he helps us to see how none of this charade down here means anything. It can't touch who we are in spirit. So we live and travel spiritually, inwardly, in a complete divine perfection. So this morning at 2:49, he was allowed, finally, to be released from the toil and trouble of a physical envelope that had reached its 80th year and was worn out, for he had given his all to this work and to those of us fortunate enough to be mentored by him, of which I am one. So I'd like to tell you how I met him and some of the adventures we've had and what he taught me. So it all began for me, I would say, shortly before my 12th birthday, when I can remember saying to my mother, "I can't waste my time being a child. I have my mission to do." And although I didn't remember what the mission was specifically, I knew it had something about helping people connect to God. And we were living in Fort Lauderdale, Florida at the time. And the draw was stronger and stronger until I was quite desperate. And one night I went out, this was the 50s, 1951, 52, somewhere in there. And you could actually see the stars in those days. And as far as you could look up, you would see this vast, thick blanket of stars. And I began to cry. And I called out in a loud voice, "Whoever brought me to this planet, would you please come and take me home? I can't stay here. There's not enough love." And I went to bed. And in that night, I had a dream. And this blonde form, this man, this person came to me and began to teach me. Sometimes silently through telepathy. Of course, I didn't know what that was at the time. And sometimes he would speak, but he was always standing with me on the inner planes. And I was a Catholic, you know, I had no understanding of inner plane teachers or masters or anything like that, but I didn't know about saints and angels. So I just assumed it was my guardian angel. So 20 years later, 1972, I physically walk into my first gathering with John Roger. And we instantly recognized each other. I went up and said, "Are you that young blonde man that's been appearing in my dreams?" And he said, "Yes, love. I've been working with you in this lifetime since around junior high." So he knew exactly who I was. And I recognized him. So that evening, we went out to a vegetarian restaurant here in Hollywood on the Strip. And the plan was formed to go see Satya Sai Baba. Now, I was already, I thought, established on my spiritual path and doing my life work. I was 29 years old. And I was an esoteric teacher of the Alice Bailey, Blavatsky, and Agni Yoga teachings, an esotericist. And I was a student of the Arcane School, started by Alice Bailey in 1922. Very highbrow, very intellectual, very difficult discipleship training for initiates. And I knew that was my path. And moreover, I had just met Sai Baba, who I recognized instantly as my guru. So the last thing I was looking for was a path or a spiritual teacher. Certainly not a Western one. And we were taught in the Arcane School not to look for a teacher in the outer world, but to connect with the masters and the ashrams upon the inner planes. So even to mention that I was involved with Sai Baba, you know, raised a lot of eyebrows, and a lot of people thought I was just englamored, as they call it. But, you know what you know when you know it, right? You know the master when you see him. There's no doubt about it. So just saying, I wasn't looking for a spiritual teacher at all. But every time I'd go into the Safeway to buy my groceries, this woman at the checkout counter would say, I play John Rogers seminars in my home, and you're certainly invited if you'd like to come. She must have said that a dozen times. And each time I'd think in my mind, thank you very much, but I have my own path, my own teacher, and I'm not looking. But you know how that is. Your destiny will find you. However it has to encounter you, however it has to snare you, you will be drawn to your destiny. So anyway, I was drawn to John Roger. I recognized instantly that he was a master, that he carried the Christ consciousness. I don't know how I knew that, I just knew that. He's a very humble, unassuming person. As he puts it, he said, "I'm not a master, I'm not a guru. I'm not a god. I'm simply a nice guy." And he sure is a nice guy. He was the most amazing guy I'd ever hung out with. So we're on our trip to India. We're on a plane, and we're stopping in Paris. And I'm watching him like a hawk because I had never seen a master before in the flesh. I had never encountered a Christ-conscious person physically. Moreover, I think he was the first real Christian I had ever met. And everywhere he went, he would light people up. He would make them feel happy. I would see him drawing the divine spirit out of everybody he'd talk to, as if he would just kind of turn on the inner light inside them. And he was as courteous and as honoring of the street sweepers and everyone, and the servants and the restaurant, the servers, and everywhere he went, he treated everyone as divine royalty. I was very impressed. And so I stuck close to him. And although I had gone to India originally with my yoga teacher, Indra Devi, we all kind of formed one big group. And there were a lot of us that were part of the early Sai Baba gatherings. We didn't have centers yet, just gatherings. And we formed one large group of about 50 people that went on that first trip in 1972 to see Sai Baba. So we arrive at Sai Baba's ashram, and my first experience of seeing Sai Baba, I felt the minute my eyes met his, like someone had struck me very strongly in my heart, like there had been a blow to my heart. And it was as if two plugs had been taken out of my eyes, and torrents of tears poured forth. So much so that the whole of my clothing was drenched. And I went into a kind of samadhi state. I don't remember much, except that I was led around by someone else, and was totally out of it. So anyway, the next morning we're draped in, or I was being draped, I was still out of it, in a white silk sari with gold trim, and we were being ushered into an interview with Sai Baba. That would be John Roger and the people who were with him at the time, and my teacher, Indra Devi, my yoga teacher, and our groups, about 50 of us, as I said. In the interview, I was sitting next to Sai Baba. John Roger was sitting at his feet. And in the course of the interview, many, many things happened, but I want to tell you what he did with John Roger. First of all, he called him J. Raj, which I knew, but I don't think anyone else in the room knew, that is what you call a spiritual traveler. That's their official title, is Raj, King, because that path of light and sound is called the kingly path. And Jai, or Jai, means victorious. So Sai Baba called him Victorious King, Jai Raj, because we all call him J.R. Baba called him Jai Raj. And he said, he said to one of our people, because Baba sometimes does not speak directly to the person, that he was a great soul, great light. And then he materialized a golden pendant for John Roger that had love embossed on it. And he said, "You are my gift of love to this world." And then he materialized, and I wasn't present for this particular materialization. This was the second interview that they had. And I think it was John Roger and just a very small group of the staff that was with him at the time. But in that interview, Sai Baba materialized a large diamond. And when you look inside the diamond, you can see Sai Baba moving, whatever he's doing. You can see him in that diamond. Now, you have to know, Sai Baba is very, very hard on gurus. In fact, I've been there in the ashram sometimes when he wouldn't even see some of the gurus. He would say, you know, they're platform heroes and spiritual zeros. Or he would say their technique is all ego. It's very strict. One of them came and he asked him his name, and Baba shouted at him, "You are Atma, Atma, Atma." In other words, the man had given his, you know, his human name. And Baba was calling him, you say you're a spiritual teacher and you don't know who you are. So he's very, very, very strict, even though he's also very sweet and gentle and loving and kind. But if you lay claim to being something, boy, you better be that, he's going to kick your butt. So I'm just saying that he really honored J.R. And I didn't know John Roger physically. I mean, I got to know him on the trip, so I was watching all of this to see how this would all play out. So one of our group that was in the early Sai Baba group was very interested in studying with John Roger and asked Sai Baba about it. And Sai Baba said, yes, yes, he's a good master. Again, a very unusual thing for Sai Baba to bless someone in this way. When we spoke about our group, which was just in its formative stage of the movement of spiritual inner awareness, which is an acronym for Messiah, Sai Baba went, Messiah, Messiah. And John Roger said, but Swami, it's spelled differently. And Baba said, a mere detail. And then he said that the movement itself would spread around the earth by the end of 1972, which it did, through Baba's blessing. Another thing that happened was that we were looking for property. And my husband at the time, my late husband, and I were traveling with John Roger looking at property throughout Santa Barbara primarily, where we wanted to move. And we were going to start a community called New Atlantis. We looked everywhere, but nothing opened up. Finally, we found this large mansion in Los Angeles. And John Roger called us in Santa Barbara, where we were living, and asked us to come down and look at it and see if that was a good place for us, our group, MSIA. So as soon as we drove onto the property with JR, I said, JR, I had a dream about this place. And he said, tell me the dream. And I said, well, I saw Sai Baba standing on that balcony over that entranceway, and he had his hand raised, which means I am blessing, have no fear. And John Roger said, that's the sign I've been waiting for from Spirit. That means we will purchase this property. So that's how we got our beautiful Peace Theological Seminary and College of Philosophy, which is now a beautiful labyrinth and a meditation garden that's open at certain hours for people to visit. But it's also the home of the travelers and the home of his students and his work. And so we were moved into that beautiful mansion by John Roger, and my dream of Baba was instrumental in our doing that. So just saying that the movement actually was spawned through what we experienced with Sai Baba, Sai Baba's guidance. And since Sai Baba and John Roger teach love, that's their primary teaching, you can see that we're simply a Western extension of that teaching. In fact, when I was confused about whether or not I should study with John Roger myself, because I had a guru, I brought my discourses, our study material, to Sai Baba, and I held each of the books in my hands. One was The Mystical Traveler Consciousness, was the title of one discourse, and the other was The Teachings of the Sound Current. And Baba walked up and looked very carefully at both discourses, and then very deliberately put his full hand on each discourse and blessed them. And telepathically I heard him say, Vedic teachings, modern language. And so I knew that I was to do that, as if I could stay away. I mean, I stayed on after everybody else left. I stayed on for 4 months with Sai Baba, had tremendous experiences. And at that point in my life, I had gone as far as I possibly could. I had meditated for years. I had studied everything. I had done everything I could think of, and still had not experienced full self-realization. And so I knew I needed to go to Sai Baba. I knew I needed to go to God, the divine avatar, and be quickened, you know, in that, you know, you can only take yourself so far in your spiritual practice. And then you have to have the grace of God that carries you across that final threshold. I think it's a God thing because God will not share his glory with anyone. So we can't take authorship and glory for awakening ourselves. We can only take ourselves so far. And then the coup de grace comes from the blessing and benediction of God. And the God form on earth is the avatar. That's what an avatar is. It's the appearing into our world of a divine principle and in its fullness in the case of Sai Baba. And that's what it means to be an avatar. It's one who comes down as a divine principle embodied. So anyway, Sai Baba embodies the Father, Mother, God principle. And so that's why those of us that are given that understanding, such as I have been, we relate to Sai Baba as God, the Father who sent Jesus, is how he describes himself. And that's a principle. It's not his body. It's not the person with the name Sai Baba. It's the divine principle with a capital P that we would call the Father principle, the Mother principle of God. The divine love, wisdom principle embodied. So never think of that as a body, as a form, as a name, as a person. That's when you start the idolatry of the form. But recognize the principle indwelling. And that's what you honor. And it's the same principle. You know, there's not many gods. There's only one God. But every name and form of God you can imagine is actually that one and only divine spirit. And religions are all, without exception, started by man, by followers of some great avatar, some great manifestation, some great teacher. But they of themselves do not start religions. They are the principle that religions seek to come into fellowship with or union with. So anyway, Sai Baba blessed my discourses, so I knew that the teachings were appropriate. And then it came time for initiation, and I hesitated. I said, well, I can't take initiation. I'm Sai Baba's devotee. So Sai Baba came to me in a vision in which he filled the whole of my inner vision with this intense purple light. And he said in a deep voice, I am Hugh. And Hugh is the mantra that we chant, which is the name of God in his principle beyond manifestation, nameless, formless, the eternal one. And the closest we can approximate the name of the eternal one is Hugh. And Om pertains to the realms of creation. Hugh pertains to the transcendental realms beyond creation. So, and I didn't know at the time that Hugh is also the Druid name for the Father principle of God. So God is called Hugh, but I didn't know that at the time. I'm just telling you experiences of a very ignorant girl, 29 years old, that had never met a guru, had never studied anything Indian, was totally schooled in Western esotericism and Christian mysticism. But other than that, really had no knowledge of the Indian teachings. So anyway, I lived and taught and worked in our new community, our new beautiful home, our mansion called Prana, Purple Rose Ashram of the New Age. And John Roger would give seminars every, twice a week we would have seminars in this large mansion. And people would come and it would be packed and wonderful. And John Roger often spoke of Ashtar in those days. He said Ashtar was his very good friend. And he said, if you're in the hands of Ashtar, you're in very good hands indeed. And John Roger also told me that the planet that I remembered so fondly, that I didn't know the name of, was Venus, that I had come from Venus. And so there were a lot of things he confirmed for me that I didn't actually have any name for or understanding of at the time. And Here are some of the things that he taught me. First of all, he looked at me and he said, "You're not an ordinary woman." I really didn't know what that meant at the time. And he didn't elaborate either. But he did let me know that I had a very special function and that I had been amongst the saints in the Bhagavad Gita. And I had had so many lifetimes in India, it was simply amazing. He also confirmed that I had been with Shirdi Sai Baba in my last life, which was Satya Sai Baba's previous avataric incarnation. And then he said, you need not to be loyal to disciplines that you've already outgrown. Well, I was very Brahmin, very, very Vedic in my outlook at the time, very, as we would laugh and call it in the ashram, very Pukka Brahmin. You know, I was very, very strict with myself, even though I didn't realize how much of a Brahmin I was until I went to India. It's like, wow, I live like these holy men in India, but I'm not a holy man in this lifetime, and I'm not supposed to live like that. Moreover, it's real hard to live like that here in the West, particularly living in Los Angeles, California. So I was always kind of going against the grain because I was living a, what you might say, a holier-than-thou kind of a lifestyle. So he told me not to be loyal to these things that I had already mastered and completed in other lifetimes. Then he said, God is like an omnidirectional mic. He's going to pick up on you wherever you are. You don't have to stand on a certain position on this stage. In this case, he was thinking about you don't have to go living in an ashram in India, which is where my head was, to be with God. God will find you wherever you are. God is in all people and all things. So use everything in your life as a stepping stone to God. And that was wonderful because, you know, when you're trying to be perfect, as I was, you fault yourself for every little infraction, every little tiny, minuscule imperfection, you're on your case. And, of course, nothing in the physical world can be perfect. Again, if it could be, we would never grow. We would stay here. So this world is designed to be imperfect, so we'll go beyond this world. We won't get hung up here. But I didn't know that back then. So he taught me that God is in all people and all places and all religions and all things with no exception. And at that time, John Rogers said that he had traveled to over 101 universes. And he'd yet to find anything or anyone that was truly evil. He said some are in greater darkness, but he said, I never found a truly evil person in all my travels. And I thought that was interesting. And then he said, never be loyal to this body, meaning his own form. And don't be loyal to this little group, MSIA. And don't be loyal to any outer form. Be only loyal to soul. Be loyal to yourself. When you're loyal to yourself, then you're loyal to everyone. But if you're not loyal to yourself, you can't be loyal to anyone or anything else. So I was always looking upon and for altars to throw myself upon. I was your penultimate devotee, always looking for someone to put on that pedestal, to worship and adore as the way, the one. And so anyway, I was very conflicted in where to place my loyalty when I first came to John Roger, and suffered a lot of mental, I would say, karma, wrestling with my mind, which path to follow, what was the right way, what should I do? I love Sai Baba, I love John Roger, I can't stay away from either of them. I need them both like I need air. What to do? Anyway, gradually, I reconciled those to the fact that, really, My guru is my heart, and love is my path. And moreover, I am that love that I seek. And so then, I could find God everywhere. It didn't matter which group, or which form, or which religion, or anything. I learned that God truly is in everyone and everything. So that now, you know, all of these many decades later, I live and move and have my being very consciously in the divine presence. I'm in that all the time now. And it's because I've had such wonderful training from John Roger and also from Sai Baba. And I have to add the Lord Jesus Christ, who has always been my number one beloved. So I have that trinity. Those of you that might find yourself like that, to reconcile it, begin to think of them as members of your family. You have a father, you have maybe brothers, you have uncles perhaps, you have maybe a son, and you love them all in different ways, don't you? But they're all members of your family. And so I think of Baba like that, and John Roger like that, and the Master Moria, and the Masters that I work with, so many of them that I love, and so many of the women avatars and saints that I love. And they're my family. All of the Hindu representations of God, you know, these are all personified energies, divine energies and aspects that you see. They're not many gods. They're embodied aspects that people have clothed with their own yearning to see, to make God tangible. But I see all of these as my family, as my friends. And I've had ongoing, wonderful, wonderful visions and interplane experiences with all of these manifestations of God because I love them. And whatever and whomever you love, you keep company with them. So my experience is that I'm surrounded by all these divine beings all the time. How could I possibly ever be lonely? I'm at all times in a great assembly of divine beings. And it fills my heart and my life with great, great bliss and joy. And I have to thank John Roger for that, because he's the one that lit that inner fire in my being, that illumined my eyes with the correct way to see. And the most important thing I ever learned from John Roger is to look only for the good and the divine in all people and things. Look only for the good and the divine, and leave everything else to God. Leave everything else to God. Put on those blinders so that you only see the good and the divine, and everything, everyone. Always look for that beauty, that divinity, that radiance, that love. Look right past everything else. Ignore it, because that's the illusion. That's the Maya. Look only for the divine. As I think it was Paul in the Bible said, whatsoever things are pure and noble and good and wholesome and of good report, think on these things only. Put your mind only on that. Because what you focus on, you increase in your life. And likewise, relinquish every form of againstness. Whoever you place yourself against, you are closing yourself to God. Because God is in every person, and that's yourself too. Never speak in a negative way about yourself. To judge anyone is to judge yourself. Whatsoever you judge in another, you have condemned in yourself, and you're held accountable for that. So what to do? Forgive yourself for forgetting you are divine. That's really the only thing you ever need to forgive yourself for. Forgive yourself for forgetting that you are divine. And so is everyone else. train yourself to imagine the Lord standing before you, whoever that person is. You go to pick up the phone, it's the Lord that's calling, even if it's a bill collector, even if it's, you know, some anonymous person that's harassing you. Treat them with courtesy, because that's the Lord in one of his, her many disguises. Someone comes to the door, it's the Lord. Someone comes to dinner, you're hosting the Lord. You do something for someone. I don't care who it is or what it is. Do it for the Lord. That's what I learned from John Roger. That's how you can live in the world and not be of the world. That's what it means to live a life of soul transcendence, which is the teachings that the traveler consciousness presents. The traveler consciousness is within all things, all people, all animals, everything. Everything has the traveler consciousness within them on this planet. What is the traveler consciousness? It's the principle of transcendency. It's that radiant principle that increases and expands as it unfolds in time-space and ultimately transfigures into immortal glory. Part of our work here is to inject that radiant consciousness into every state, every place. When I say state, I mean state of consciousness. Every place in which we find ourselves, evoke the radiant grace of the presence of love. Immerse yourself in the radiant presence of divine love. Soak yourself in it until when you're squeezed like a sponge, the only thing that comes out is nectar, divine love nectar. Become sweet, sweet in your thinking, sweet in your speaking, sweet in your behavior, sweet in your touch. Even when you walk, like Thich Nhat Hanh, a little precious monk, tells us, when you walk, walk as if you're kissing the earth with your feet. Place a blessing wherever you walk. Let your gaze be totally beneficent. So when you look upon anyone, let it be an impartation of blessing. When you touch anyone, let it be an extension of your heart's loving, with kindness and graciousness and goodness. The last teaching John Roger gave us before he passed was be good, be holy. So be good, be holy. And know that you can't of your own steam be good or holy. You need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You need the Spirit, connection of the Holy Spirit, which you bring in with a breath. Take a deep breath, and you ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the presence. The Holy Spirit is called the helper, the one who comes alongside you, the one who helps you, the one who brings comfort, the one who brings the peace that bypasses understanding, the one who interprets God's will for you, as you're inwardly taught through your daily life. Every place in which you find yourself, the Holy Spirit dwells within you as the teacher, with a capital T. I would say that the mystical traveler is very much an action of that same Holy Spirit. The traveler, the mystical traveler, comes with a specific job. And that is to escort you home beyond the psychic and material realms of duality and suffering and pain and death and disease that I often call the fallen realms. The fall was a fallen illusion. a real person, the purpose that we're here is for the soul to gain experiences. But the soul in its perfection did not know of differentiation. It didn't know. And so part of the experience of our being immersed in time, space, and karmic fields is to gain experience and to awaken the divine within the midst of the experience, which, as I've often taught, then transmutes it and brings it into a state of light empowerment within you. You increase your light. You increase your divine anointing and empowerment as you awaken in the midst of your angst, your anger, your worry, or whatever. So everything is grist for the mill. Everything is useful. And that's what John Roger taught. That's what he taught. Now, when you work with a traveler consciousness, and we always have a traveler on the planet, John Morton has been carrying with John Roger, his master, the traveler consciousness as a co-traveler for over 25 years now. He received the keys to the traveler consciousness in 1988. I was present when that happened. What are the keys? The keys are the understanding of how to escort souls multidimensionally through the light and sound into and up to the soul realm. That is the function. And again, not only to escort you, but to move you in and establish you at that level so that you can't backslide. You cannot possibly fall into any purgatorial or hellish state of consciousness when you work with a traveler. In fact, you work in such a perfect protection that if you would even fall by some means, by some misendeavor, and get yourself in real difficulty and go into a negative realm, the traveler would come in to get you. And when he did, he would release all of the souls that are in those levels, those bardos or purgatories or whatever you want to call them, the self-tormenting states of consciousness that sometimes people create and manifest for themselves. If you remember in the story of the Bible, where Jesus was crucified, and in the Catholic Douay version of the Bible, I think it says it in all the versions, but at least in the Catholic version it said that he descended into hell. And when he descended into hell, remember Jesus Christ was the greatest spiritual traveler of all times. When he descended into hell, he released all of those souls that were trapped. He released them all. And I believe in every version of the Bible, it speaks about how the dead were seen, resurrected, and walking in the streets of Jerusalem during the time of the crucifixion. That's what he was doing, and during the time he was in the tomb for 3 days. Where was he? He was down in Gehenna, which is the trash heap, the burning heap, the garbage heap, where negative stuff is being burned off. And also, before the coming of Jesus Christ, people didn't have access to the higher realms of spirit. They went to what was called Abraham's bosom, which was like a temporary holding tank, because the call power, the negative god of the material realms, was preventing souls from going beyond his jurisdiction, which is the real meaning of grace, why Jesus Christ came to open the way of grace, and why the travelers come. And we haven't really had a traveler on the planet since before 1965, when Paul Twitchell came in and started Ekankar. That was the very first, as I'm aware of, teachings of light and sound that were brought onto this planet since about 3,000 years, according to Ekankar. And the teachings of Ekankar are very, 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 very similar to MSIA, the main difference being that we focus more on the Christian lineage. But that doesn't negate the power and beauty of the Ekankar teachings, which I'm also affiliated with. So I wanted to share that with you because I want to honor my mentor and teacher of, I guess, some 61 years, something like that, and impart to you a blessing from him. Because just because the bubble of the body burst and he merged back into the sea, the ocean of love and mercy, or that higher expanded awareness, doesn't mean that he isn't still working with you and working with humanity. That kind of work is ongoing. And John Roger also teaches that there's always a plus factor in spirit. So wherever you are in your path, always go next, the next step. No matter who you meet on the inner realms or the outer, if they say, I'm God, that's it, you come as far as you need to go, say thank you, but I'm going to go further. I'm going to go beyond. So never let anyone or anything stop you. Keep going. J.R. says it's et cetera, without a period. Eternally traveling consciousness. So keep going. Keep going. There's always more. There's always more. And eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has the mind of man imagined the things that God has planned for those who love him. So as John Roger told me, love yourself, love your master, love God, love your fellow man, and leave everything else to the Lord. Let the Lord figure out the conundrums of your life. Let the Lord handle your problems. But live in God. Move yourself into God consciousness. Walk with God hand in hand through every minute of your day. And when you step out of your body, you will be met just like John Roger was. I saw him being greeted on the other side. And there was his master, Jesus, and all the masters of the hierarchy, and many of our initiates who've already gone on, and many of them, the wonderful spiritual teachers on the planet today that have recently made their transition. They were all there. We're all one big family. And they were celebrating the homecoming of another great luminary, another great light that was again expanding the glory of God's kingdom, and expanding the glory of the divine. And that's what you're here to do, my very, very dear friends and brothers and sisters. We are here to manifest the glory of God. So be good, and be holy, and above all, love, love, love. And we offer this seminar this evening to the great master, who would never call himself a master, but he's our friend, and he's definitely my master, John Roger. And as he always says, Baruch Beishan, may the blessings be, or the blessings already are. And I always say, Baruch Hashem Adonai. So let's go out chanting a nice Anahi and send our blessings to this wonderful soul, John Roger, and wish him well in his onward journey. Deep breath. Blessings and grace as I stand through the lineage and authority of the spiritual travelers of light and sound throughout all time all galaxies, all worlds. I bless you. I bless you. I bless you.